Well, praise the Lord. Welcome back to Good News from a Far Country. And it's a brave new world, folks. Amen. And I've been chomping at the bit to get back to you. And I pre-record my messages sometimes a month, 5 weeks out. So I just really been chomping at the bit to get with you and preach to you again some more messages pertinent to this thing right now. And so I'm excited to be in the studio and doing just that. And this message is being preached on May 8th, I think it is, May 8th or May 9th. And I think May 9th, actually. And so praise the Lord for that. And we've come through a lot here. And as I preach this message, the governor has heard our voice up in Augusta, as our church has been a part of all the rallies up there. And we did not go up there just to open Maine, although I was in agreement with that. We co-opted that thing for Jesus Christ. And it's sad. It's sad. The first rally, we were the only church up there doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that boastfully. I'm saying that's tragic. That's tragic. I mean, there was probably, the media estimated there was 300 people, which means there was probably some more. And then there was easily hundreds and hundreds more. You couldn't see the end of the line of cars, the first rally that we had in Augusta. And we got out so many tracks. It was just a blessing. And we got a chance to unfurl all our banners. I mean, we were pulling banners off the walls, amen, and go up there and just take a stand for Jesus Christ. As you know, now the governor's canceled everything in Maine as far as festivals. The lobster festival's now officially canceled, and just everything's canceled. And these are events that our church faithfully goes out to. And we give out tens of thousands of gospel tracts every year, and that's been taken away from us. I'll preach more on that next week. But anyway, the second rally up there in Augusta, there were thousands of people at that. And again, tragically, there were a couple other churches up there holding signs and that sort of thing. But we were the only church that I could see anyway, and I hope there were others, but I don't think there were, because we were all over that thing, handing out gospel tracts. And folks, I don't get it today. I don't get Christianity today. I don't understand where Christianity's been. You know, it kind of reminds me of when the Sodomites came out of the closet. The Christians ran into it, as the tongue-in-cheek joke goes. And you know, when this COVID-19 thing broke out, the world, you know, ran for cover and ran underground. And the Christians said, "Make room for me." And I'm perplexed by this. And you know, I'm looking at this with hindsight now. Being here we are and going into the second week in May, and we're through this thing now for 5 or 6 weeks and all that. And I've seen a monumental failure in Christianity. A monumental failure. I preached you a message a few weeks ago on this COVID-19 and the wrong response to it. And I saw Christians shrivel in their duties as a soldier for Jesus Christ, amen. I think of, I was living down in the New Jersey area during 9/11, and I remember watching in the Twin Towers before they fell, as people that were lucky enough to escape were running out of that, and the firefighters and the police were running into the building. And that's what the Christians are supposed to be. The Christians are supposed to be firefighters. The Christians are supposed to go where the fire is at. The Christians are supposed to go where the people are at. I mean, the minute we heard that they were going to have these rallies up in Augusta, I mean, we didn't even have to pray about that. We didn't even have to. People took time off from work. And we gathered every track we can get a hold of. We had found out weeks before that there was a group that put out a fantastic COVID-19 gospel track. And I remembered from our time in New York and New Jersey when the Twin Towers fell, and my pastor seized upon that and was able to find gospel tracks, phenomenal gospel tracks, with a picture of the Twin Towers on it. And we brought as many of those in. They couldn't print them fast enough for our church. And I'm telling you, and I said this jokingly, but I was serious as a heart attack. Back in the day and during 9/11 when we were down there ministering, you could have sold those gospel tracts. I mean, you couldn't get them out fast enough. It reminded me later on when I'd go on mission trips to Africa, it reminded me of how in Africa, when you started giving out those tracts, the people would come around you and encompass you, and you couldn't get them out fast enough. And that was 9/11. And I'm telling you, you could have said $5 and people would have paid that for the tract. Well, anyway, we found out a group that was printing some good COVID-19 tracts, King James Bible, preaching on sin and preaching on hell. And we ordered as many of those tracts as we could. And we got out there and we had us a time. Amen. And when they had that again, we went out again. Again, we didn't even have to pray about that. People took time off from work and we ran up there on the front lines, unfurled our banners, put on our sandwich signs, and got in, out as many tracks. We got out thousands of tracks that day. And it was a blessing. It was a blessing. And I've seen Christians just shrink in this COVID, in absolute panic in this pandemic or panic-demic or planned-demic, as some are calling it. I saw the churches fail, monumentally fail across the board in the state of Maine. You had the vice president telling churches not to meet and, you know, quoting out of the wrong Bible, but quoting where two or three are gathered, there am I, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst. In other words, telling everybody not to go to church and just gather at home as a family. I saw the Maine Civic League be an absolute failure to the state of Maine, to the Christians in the state of Maine, trumpeting the government's qualifications and canceling church and all that. I saw the quote unquote Christian leadership in this state, the state of Maine, with regards to those pastors that have large ministries here and are politically and publicly connected, and people know who they are and you know who you are. I saw them fail in this thing. Absolutely fail. Forget the fact that Janet Mills trampled and stomped on and spit on the Constitution, primarily the First Amendment. Forget that as far as being an American. Forget the fact that you have lost your Constitution in this panic-demic. But what about the Bible? What about the Bible? What about what God's commands were? What about the fact that you have all through the Bible, you have righteous rebellion, you have men of God standing up against the government, you have Jesus Christ himself doing it several times in Scripture, standing up against the authorities, against the governors, against the rule of the land when it contradicted, when it crossed over and affected and went against the scriptures of God and went against the commands of God. They didn't even have to pray about it, folks. And I saw Christianity in the country, in the world, if you will, but more specifically because we live here in Maine, whether it's the pastors in this state, whether it's the Christians, the churches, a monumental F on a test, amen, a red check on the test of God. As I preached a few weeks ago, listen, you can talk all you want about God being a, you could talk all you want about the China connection to this, the conspiracy theory, if you will. You could talk all about, whether this was contrived in and engineered in the Wuhan lab, or whether this happened across the street at the meat market with bat meat and all that. And you could talk about whether this is China fighting back against Trump because of the tariffs, or and you know Russia collusion, and I mean you can throw all the conspiracy theories you want, and listen, some of them may be right on, by the way, but make no mistake about it, at the end of the day, God dropped this thing on this world. And I believe, as I said several weeks ago, for a twofold reason, one, to shake this world up and rattle the cage of this world and see this world come to a repentance, because the Bible says in the book of Peter that the perfect will of God this morning is that all would come to repentance, amen, that there'd be none that perish. And the other reason was to see what the Christian would do. And what the Christian did is an absolute failure. Amen. An absolute failure. Now, I want to preach to you a message, and probably going to go off into a part two, and just because of my rambling. But folks, I'm telling you, you need to take account of your response in this plandemic, in this panicdemic. And you need to think about some things, and you need to have a reckoning as a born-again Christian with how you fared in this thing. As for our church, we never closed. We never closed one Sunday. I told everybody, we're having church. When I found out that the baby butchering clinics were still going to be open, when I found out that all the pot dispensaries were still going to remain open, that they were essential, when I found out that all the liquor stores were to remain open, when I found out that all the mental health clinics were to remain open, that they were essential, but it was law that all the churches, all the ministries, all the outreaches, every function of the church had to shut down, I didn't even have to pray about it. And I told the folks in the church, I'm having church, and church is going to be open, and you're welcome to come. If you don't think you should come, don't come. I'm not going to think any less of you. I'm not going to think any less of you at all. You don't want to come, don't come. What the Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you don't have that faith to come, don't come. And we did the live streaming thing, which is a stretch for our church because we're not into any of that electronic garbage. You're listening to a preacher this morning that has a flip phone. You're listening to a preacher this morning that if you held a gun to my head and said, get on Facebook, I'd say, pull the trigger, you're wasting both of our time. Blow me into the arms of Jesus Christ. I'm not part of any of that mess. Anything at all, Twitter, Fritter, Quitter, my face, your face, fake book, any of that stuff, we don't have nothing to do with it. Now, some of the folks in the church do, obviously, and that's between them and the Lord, and I preach the hell out of that stuff because that stuff did come from hell. And shame, I got to be honest with you, I told our church this, I'll tell you this, shame on anybody that's on that stuff, shame on you. That guy fits the best description of the future Antichrist that we've had come along in a long time. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. I'm not saying that Mark Zuckerberg is here. I'm saying that the actions and that his background and all that stuff, you can't have a better type of the Antichrist right now than that guy. It came out during the pandemic that Google, for example, churches that were using Google to live stream, Google was actually editing their sermons. If Google felt that there was content from that preacher that was going out over the airwaves that they did not agree with, they were editing that content. I want you to think about that. As the government in this world pushed the churches to stop their church services and pushed the pastors to go to live streaming, there were all these live stream avenues that people were using, Zoom or Facebook Live or Google and all these others, I guess, that are out there. I don't know them all. I'm shocked I know those three, but I had to learn something. And they're out there messing with your material. And they hate the Christian. The second rally that happened up in Augusta, you couldn't find that on social media. Mark Zuckerberg took it off. Mark Zuckerberg made sure anything that was negative against COVID-19, anything that's negative against Islam, anything that's negative against China, and on and on and on, is being taken off. And here are these Christians, these dopes, that are paying this guy and are participating in that platform called Facebook, and this guy hates your Savior. This guy hates you. This guy is not a friend of Jesus Christ. He's not a friend of the Bible. He's not a friend of you. And there's Christians on that garbage. And I say it, shame on you. You can justify it any way you want. It's between you and God, amen? You can justify it any way you want. And I'm sorry I'm ranting a little bit this morning, but I don't think the Christian understands the responsibility he has in these last days. I mean, just as John the Baptist, 6 months before Jesus Christ came on the scene and came out publicly with his ministry, if you will, the forerunner, John the Baptist, there was building a highway to the first advent, if you will, to Jesus Christ's ministry and for the national repentance of the nation of Israel. And Christians, you and I have a similar responsibility that John the Baptist had. I'm not saying we're John the Baptist, and I'm not saying the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in 6 months. I'm not implying that, although it certainly, there's nothing holding Jesus Christ from the trumpet, from the rapture, as you just heard my three-part series on the rapture. But that being said, you and I have a tremendous responsibility. To him much is given, of him shall much be required. And you and I are to build up the highway to the second advent, amen? You and I are, we're supposed to be out there, listen, when the fire is burning hottest, you and I are to run to the fire. I wrote the governor about a month ago, probably about 5 weeks ago, with regards to you hearing this message. I wrote right in the middle of this thing. I wrote the governor. I said, here we are. Here we are. And I listed my reasons for not closing the church. And I told her. I said, I'm not even going to argue with you about your obvious trampling of the First Amendment to our Constitution and the right to assembly and the right of free speech. I'm not even going to argue with that, because you have heard that argument ad nauseum. I said, no, I'm going to argue with the fact that you've allowed liquor stores to stay open. Liquor is still the number one destroyer of families on planet Earth in 2020. I said, you let pot dispensaries remain open as if that's essential. So you can keep a large segment of the population in Maine stoned and drunk out of their mind while you make these draconian and unconstitutional laws you didn't even have the constitutional ability to make, as our Senate and House adjourned up in Maine, and then you took over and made laws you weren't supposed to make. The legislative branch is supposed to make the laws, and you started making them. Just wicked as hell what she did. And what did the Christians do? Rolled over. What did the Christians do? Where were the Christian leaders in this state when she was doing that? They were silent. You know, here's your quote-unquote big shot Christian preachers in the state of Maine and the Maine Civic League. Here's what you got. Amen? That's what you got from them. Now, thank God we're an independent church. We're an autonomous church. We don't look to the main civic league. Thank God. We don't look to the other pastors and pastors of big churches and pastors that are well known in the media here in Maine. No, we look to the King James Bible. We look to Jesus Christ. And as I said, it was a no-brainer. These were things I didn't even have to pray about. I said to the governor, I said, no, I'm going to take you to task on the fact that you said all mental health clinics could remain open. That's what you said. And then I said to her, I said, the greatest psychology book ever written in the history of the world is the King James Bible. And the greatest mental health clinic in the world, bar none, is the local, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. And you closed them down. And that was my biggest argument with Governor Mills. Have you read the articles, folks? They're all over the main newspapers. Suicides up, drug addiction, drug use up, alcohol through the roof. And by the way, guess who's profiting from that during this pandemic? Yeah, the state of Maine, who's got their fingers in the till. You had wife abuse, spousal abuse. You had child abuse. All these things through the roof in the state of Maine, in the country, because of this. Utter devastation of jobs, and so on and so forth. And where was the pastor? Where was the local church? Where was the cleft in the rock? Where was the shelter in the storm? Where was the sanctuary? We failed, folks. We failed. We don't need to look any further than the mirror. We failed. We failed the test of God, and we failed for the citizens of Maine and for the people in Maine. And I hope we don't make that mistake when it comes around again. All right. Well, next week I'll get to the preaching. Lord, bless you. Might you be a blessing to him.